जय सपरिकाशी श्री गुरु गुरांग राधा श्याम सुंदर गिरिधरी जो की जय जय श्रीमद भागवत गीता स्टडी ग्रुप की जय. Tonight we are discussing chapter 17, Shraddha Traya by Bhaga Yoga, the three types of faith. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Gita Shastram Idam Punyam Japatet Prayata Pumam Vishnu Padam Abapnoti Bayashokadi Bhajita. Chapter 17, Shraddha Traya Vaibhaga Yoga, the three types of faith. Arjuna uvacha jaisastram midim utsrijya yajjantesh shradayanvita tesham nista tuka krishna sattvam mahorajastama. Arjuna uvacha jaisastra vidim utsrijya yajjantesh shradayanvita tesham nista tuka krishna Sattvamoha Rajastamaha. Arjun inquired, O Krishna, what is the position of those who worship with faith but ignore the injunctions of the scriptures? Is there faith in the mode of goodness, passion or ignorance? Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Tribidha Bhavate Shraddha Dehinam Sa Sabhavaja Sattviki Rajasi Chaiva Tamasi Chetatang Srinu. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Trividha Bhavate Shraddha Dehinam Sa Swabhavadya Sattviki Rajasi Chaiva Tamasi Chetitang Srinu. The Supreme Lord said, faith is of three types, born of the embodied soul's acquired nature, whether good, passionate, or ignorant. Now hear of this. Sadvanurupa sarvasya shraddhava vatibharata shraddhamayo yam purusho yo jach tradhasa evasha sadvanurupa sarvasya shraddhava vatibharata Shraddhamayo yam purusho yo yachcha radarasa eva saha. O Bharata, the faith of all living beings is governed by their consciousness. The living being possesses faith by constitution. He is that which his faith is. Yajjante sattvika devan yaksha rakshansi rajasa Pretan Bhuta Ganans Chanye Jayante Tamasajana Yajante Sattvika Devan Yaksha Rakshansi Rajasa Pretan Bhuta Ganans Chanye Yajante Tamasajana. Persons with faith of the nature of goodness worship the demigods. Persons with faith of a passionate nature worship the yaksha demigods and rakshasa demons, while those with faith of the nature of ignorance worship the ghosts and spirits. Ashastra vihitam goram tapyante etapojana dhambahankara sangyukta kamaraga balanvitaha. Ashastra vihitam gauram tapyante yetapo jana dambahankara samjukta kamaraga balanvitaha karsayanta sharira stam bhuta gramam achetasa mam chaivanta sharira stam tanvidhi asura nischayan. Karsayanta sharirastam bhuta gramam achetasaha mam chaivanta sharirastam tan vidya sura nischayahan. Full of pride and egoism, motivated by ambition, attachment, and power, ignorant persons perform severe austerities unsanctioned by the scriptures and torture the body's natural elements and the soul within. Know them to be of demoniacal faith. Aharas tvapi sarvasya trividho bhavati priya yagya tapas tata danam tesham bedam imam srinu. Aharas tvapi sarvasya trividho bhavati priya yagyas tapas tata danam tesham bedam imam srinu. According to the three modes of material nature, there are also three kinds of food preference. In the same way, there are three kinds of sacrifice, three kinds of austerity, and three kinds of charity. Now hear of these. Ayu sattva balarogya, balarogya shukha priti vivardana, rasya snigda stira ridya, ahara sattvika priya. Ayu sattva balarogya shukha priti vivardana, rasya snigda stira ridya, ahara sattvika priya. Foods that increase longevity, vitality, strength, health, happiness, and loving kindness, and which are tasty, succulent, wholesome, and pleasant, are dear to persons of the nature of goodness. Katvamla lavantya usnu tikshna ruksha vidha hina atara rajasha yesta dukha shoka maya prada. Katvamla lavantya usnu tikshna ruksha vidha hina aharaja sasista dukha shoka maya prada. Foods dear to persons of a passionate nature are too bitter, nimba, etc., too sour, too salty, too hot, too pungent, chili pepper, etc., too dry, dry roasted chickpeas, etc., and too heating, mustard seed, etc. Such foods cause pain, sorrow, and illness. Yata yamam gata rasam putti paryushitam chayat uchishtam api chamedyam bhojanam tamasa priyam. Yata yamam gata rasam putti paryushitam chayat uchishtam api chamedyam bhojanam tamasa priyam. Dear to the ignorant are foods that are stale, tasteless, foul-smelling, or were cooked the day before, remnants other than that of worshipable persons, and impure foods such as meat, wine, and onions. Afala kankar sibhir yogyo vididishtoya ijate jasvayam evati mana samadbhaya sasattvika. Afala kanki sivir yagyo vididisto yajjate yastavyam eviti mana samadaya sasattvika. That sacrifice which is in accordance with scriptural injunctions and faithfully performed by persons free from fruitive desire is sacrifice of the nature of goodness. Abhisandhyaya tu phalam dambartam apichaivajat ijjate bharata shrestha tam yagyam vidirajasam. Abhisandhyaya tu phalam dambartam apichaivajat ijjate bharata shrestha tam yagyam vidirajasam. But, O Bharat, know that sacrifice which is performed in fruitive expectation and as a display of pomp and grandeur is sacrifice of the nature of passion. vidihinam ashristanam mantrahinam adakshinam shraddhabirahitam yagyam tamasam parichakshate vidihinam ashristanam mantrahinam adakshinam shraddhabirahitam yagyam tamasam parichakshate. And that sacrifice which ignores the injunctions of the scriptures, which is performed without the distribution of foodstuffs, without uttering the appropriate mantras, without offerings to the priests, and without faith, is known as sacrifice in ignorance. Deva dvija guru pragya pujanam socham arjavam brahmacharjam mahinksa cha shariram tapa uchate. Deva dvija guru pragya pujanam socham arjavam brahmacharjam ahimsa cha shariram tapa uchate. Worship of the deity, the Brahman, the spiritual master and the enlightened soul, purity, simplicity, celibacy and non-violence, these all constitute austerity of the body. Anudvega karam bhakyam satyam priya hitam chayat Svadhyaya vyasanam chaiva vanmayam tapa uchate anudvega karam bhakyam satyam priya hitam chayat Svadhyaya vyasanam chaiva vanmayam tapa uchate. Speech which does not disturb others, which is truthful, pleasing, yet beneficial, as well as regular recitation of the Vedas, all these are known as verbal austerity. Manaha prasada somyatvam monamatma vinigraha bhavasam suddhiritetat tapomana samuchate manasasa prasada somyatam monamatma vinigraha Bhava samsudir ketat tapo manas samuchate. Self-satisfaction, benevolence, stability, mental control and pure-heartedness are all known as mental austerity. Shraddhaya paraya taptam tapastat trividham narai afalankam sibir juktai Satvikam parichakshate Shraddhaya parayam taptam Tapastat trividam narai Afalankam tibir yuktai Satvikam parichakshate. When performed by a desireless, devout soul with deep faith in the Supreme Lord, this threefold austerity of thought, word and deed is of the nature of goodness. Satkara mana pujartam tapo dambena chaiva jat kriyate tadiha proktam rajasam chalam udruvam Satkara mana pujartam tapo dambena chaiva jat kriyate tadiha proktam rajasam chalam udruvam. That unenduring, transitory austerity, which is proudly performed for the sake of gain, worship, name and fame, is known as austerity of the nature of passion. Muddha grate natmano jat, piddaya kriyate tapaha, parashyota sadhanartam va, tattamasam udhabritam muda grahenat manojat pidaya kriyate tapa parasyot sadatantva tatamasam udharitam. That austerity which is performed with dubious intent, causing self-torture or meant to harm others, is known as austerity of the nature of ignorance. dattabhyam iti jaddanam diyate nupakarine deshe kale cha patre cha taddannam sattvikam smritam dattabhyam iti jaddanam diyate nupakarine deshe kale cha patre cha taddannam sattvikam smritam. That gift which is given without expectation of return, with the conviction that it ought to be given at an appropriate place and time, and to an appropriate recipient, is considered to be of the nature of goodness. Jattu pratyupakarta kartam phalam uddishyava puna diyate cha Pariklishtam taddanam rajasam smritam yattu pratyupakarartam phalam udishyava puna diyate cha pariklishtam taddanam rajasam smritam. Otherwise, the gift begrudgingly given in expectation of gaining something in return, or with a desire for a reward such as the attainment of heaven, is considered to be of the nature of passion. Adesha kale jaddanam aptrebhyascha diyate asatkritam avyankatam tattamasam udharitam adesha kale jaddanam apatrebhyascha diyate asatkritam avyankatam tattamasam udharitam. The gift given disrespectfully and scornfully to an unworthy recipient at an improper place and time is considered to be of the nature of ignorance. Om tat sat iti nidresho brahmanas tribidha smrita brahmanas tena vedascha yagyascha vihita pura. Om tat sat iti nirdesho brahmanas tribidha smrita brahmanas tena vedascha yagyascha vihita pura. The scriptures say that the words Om tat sat indicate Brahman, the Supreme Spirit. At the time of the universal manifestation, the Brahmans, the Vedas, and the sacrifices were manifested by these three words. Tasmadam mityadaritya yagyadana tapakriya pravartante vidannokta satatam brahmavadinam. Tasmadam mityadaritya yagyadana tapakriya pravartante vidannokta satatam brahmavadinam. Thus the followers of the Vedas always utter the syllable Om, representing Brahman, the Absolute, to initiate their prescribed duties of sacrifice, charity, and austerity. Tadityanu bishandya daya phalam yagya tapakriya dana kriyascha vidvidha kriyante moksha kankshibhi. Tadityana vishandaya phalam yagya tapakriya dana kriyascha vividha kriyante moksha kankshibhi. Persons aspiring for liberation utter the word tat, representing Brahman, the Absolute, to invoke the performance of various acts of sacrifice, charity, and austerity without motivation for the result. Sadbhave sadubhave cha sadityetad prayujate prashaste karmani tata satchabhata partayujate. Sadbhave sadubhave cha sadityetad prayujate prashaste karmani tata satchabhata partayujate. O Partha, the word Sat, representing Brahman, the Absolute, indicates the truth and persons dedicated to the truth. Therefore, the word Sat is uttered to invoke the performance of auspicious activities. Yagye tapasi dane cha stiti sat iti chochate karma chaiva tat artidyam sadityye vabhidiyate. Yagye tapasi dane cha stiti sat iti chochate karma chaiva tat artidyam sadityye vabhidiyate. The word Sat is said to indicate the eternality of sacrifice, austerity, and charity. An action for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord is called Sat, truth. Ashradhaya hutam datam tapas taptam kritam chayat asad it uchyate partha nachatat prityunohiha. Chadraya hutam datam tapas taptam kritam chayat asad ichuchate partha nachatat prechano iha. O Partha, sacrifice, charity, and austerity, or any action performed without faith in the Supreme, is known as asat or untruth. Such works cannot bring an auspicious result, either in this world or the next. Iti Sri Mahabharate Satasahasrayam Samhitayam Vaisheshikyam Bhishma Parvani Srimad Bhagavad Gita Supanishatsu Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Sri Krishna Arjuna Sambade Shraddha Traya Vaibhaga Yoga Nama Saptadaso Jayaha. End of chapter 17, The Three Types of Faith, from the conversation of Sri Krishna and Arjuna in Srimad Bhagavad Gita Upanishad, the yoga scripture of transcendental knowledge in Bhishma Parva of Sri Mahabharata, the holy scripture revealed by Srila Vyasadeva in 100,000 verses. So, now this is the penultimate chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and we are very fortunate tonight we have Sripad Bhakti Kamal Tyagi Maharaj with us, and we hope that he will be able to. We know that he's able to, but that he will speak something about this chapter.
Hare Krishna. Well, based on what we read, is there any particular topic that anyone would like to discuss? Anything bringing up any inquiry in particular?
I'd like you to talk about envy, Maharaj, and how to deal with it, if that ties in.
All right. Well, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, the words of the Lord, spoken with the greatest compassion for the highest benefit of all living beings, including someone as wayward as myself. So to hear the words of the Lord, to get a chance to repeat, to hear the very things that he said, this is always a great blessing. And here we hear, generally speaking, a survey of the three modes of material nature and the behaviors that go on under their influence. And we can say quickly, in the school of Srimad Mahaprabhu, we're taught about transcending the three modes of material nature and trying to develop some form of sacrifice, action, thought, and so forth that's not based on any of them. Right? The conclusion, what is it, 14, you know, Mangcheo Babitrena Bhakti Yogina Sevate Sagunan Samatitayan Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate, saying that if we engage sincerely in bhakti yoga, then we surpass all the gunas. We go beyond them all. Right. So this is our aim. This is our aspiration. By surrender to Krishna, by connection with Krishna, we can free ourselves from all of these things. And of this chapter, I can't really think of hearing any of the slokas from it, from our Guru Varga, apart from one, maybe two. But one got some emphasis. This third one is quoted even by Guru Maharaj in his introduction to Bhagavad Gita. Param Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Rakhak, Shridharadev Goswami Maharaj. He quoted this phrase, Yo Yat Chada Saiva Sa, in his introduction to the Gita, saying that someone is what their faith is. The faith of a person, that is the person. That's where they're at. That's the condition that they're in. So, paving the way for this ideal that a man is to be judged by his ideal. It is an ideal that makes a man great, not necessarily any particular action or knowledge or what have you. Right? That even acts of great sacrifice, acts of great charity, so on and so forth that we've described, if they're not for a spiritual ideal, not for the spiritual benefit of others, then from a transcendental perspective they're of no value, be they in mode of goodness or otherwise. So to acquire divine faith, right? This word Shraddha, generally speaking, means faith, or in colloquial speech means something like respect or proper regard, right? But in the words of Gurudev, it means affectionate faith or divine faith. In the Rupa Goswami Prabhu's school, when he said Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha, that Shraddha means the manifestation of divine grace within our life. That faith is not faith that we muster up or faith that we are bred into us, but faith that arises naturally within our consciousness by the influence of divinity. And by that we mean Sukriti. The Lord's causeless grace pervades the world and is spread in the form of Sukriti, or knowingly and unknowingly giving various living beings the opportunity to engage in his service. So by that knowing or unknowing engagement, grace is received, and the maturation of that grace is faith within us. That faith. And that faith can enable us to associate with the sadhus, to engage in the practices of devotion, and ultimately come to what is described there in the Mongjo Babichin, come to sincere engagement in surrendered service to Krishna, whereby the three modes of material nature are transcended. Right. So coming up next in the final chapter, when the Lord concludes, Sarva Dharman Parityajya, give up all your all dharmas. Means here we read so many dharmas in, you know, of sacrifice, charity, austerity, so many things in the different modes that are to be done. Leave them all and surrender to me. This is where it's going, where it's meant to go. So, to understand that, but to enter that requires faith. This is a very important caveat given in Bhagavatam and highlighted by Mahaprabhu in Ramananda Sangvad, and also in his conversation with the Tattva bodies. Because Ramananda, he begins his answers in Ramananda Sangvad, Varnash Ramacharavata Parasham Purushena, you know, saying that the proper aim of life is to satisfy the Lord, and the proper means is observance of Varnashram Dharma, which means all the things we read about now. Right? Varnashram Dharma means performing charity, austerity, sacrifice, etc., according to your role within society. You know, so to do all of these things, to do so ultimately for the satisfaction of the Lord, this is the way by which we can attain the aim of life. Proper standard answer. Right? And Mahaprabhu goes, no, that is external. That is superficial. Go further. And then he says, quotes also from Gita, referring to all of these things. Whatever you eat, whatever you give away, whatever charity you perform, whatever austerity you observe means, all of the categories of things we just read about. When you're doing all those things, do them as an offering to me. Offer that to me. So, observe all those such laws of Dharma, but do so for me. Right? But Mahaprabhu dismisses that also. Right? He dismisses that. And then Ramananda comes with Sarva Dharman Pratyaja. Okay. They're gone. Leave them all. And just surrender to Krishna. Then Mahaprabhu says, and then Mahaprabhu goes on further. Right? But why is this gradation? How is this step made from performing all these things and offering them to Krishna to leaving them all and surrendering to Krishna? Right? That transition is the entrance of Shraddha, or the entrance in real faith in Krishna's position and in our ultimate duty, our spiritual duty of service to Krishna. Means all these things that we described about, you have to do them. They're the proper way to live. They're like as natural as like the wind blowing through the trees and the birds singing and the sun rising. It's like part of life. You have to be that way for life to be beautiful and harmonious and all of these things. So to start talking about like throwing them all out and leaving them all behind is like, on what grounds can you possibly do that? The only grounds is if you're adhering to some kind of deeper and more subtle harmony with existence. Otherwise, you're just a punk. You're just a thrasher. You're just a nuisance, right? You can't like dismiss these things. These things have value. But if you have something of greater value, then they may be set aside. So, to enter into that higher plane of duty requires a higher standard of faith. The faith that the Lord is all in all. Right earlier, you must have read, "Aham hi sarva yogyanam bhoktacha pravarevacha." Right? I am the provider and I am the enjoyer for every sacrifice, for every austerity, for every form of charity. Right? You're giving charity. Where did you get anything to give? Right? That was supplied by me. Right? You know, and for whose benefit, for whose satisfaction are you giving anything? That better be for me. Right? You're performing some austerity. Where did you get the willpower, the wherewithal to do that? That came from me. Right? Every last form, every last observance, you know, charity, austerity, etc. The capacity, the supply, the resources to do that came from him, and therefore he ought to be the beneficiary of the performance of all of those things. Bhokta Prabhu means provider and receiver. So, a cycle. He's supplying and then you're returning to him. And when you, you know, receive but then direct it elsewhere, that's dysfunctional. But when you return it back to its source, more is supplied from him and it starts to loop. Right? And that's that cycling is what ultimately produces rasa, or the experience of a divine self-fulfilling experience of having loving service to Krishna. And there is a nice example related to this that Gurudev cited, referring to one of the great devotees of named Jogabandhu Bhakti Ranjan. Perhaps you have heard about his life history. He lived in Calcutta and he was a very wealthy businessman. He had a large corporation. And he was living on into his 60s, 70s, maybe 80s, later in his life. And he had no son and no heir, but a very large fortune. And as his age went on, he started to reflect about what he should do with these things. And he was in the association of the devotees and in the association with Saraswati Thakur. He was living in Calcutta. So he would regularly visit the Gaudiya Math, hear the lectures of Saraswati Thakur and the other Vaishnavas. And at that time, Saraswati Thakur was trying to establish his headquarters in Calcutta. They had a building and a temple and things were going on, but they wanted to establish a prestigious headquarters, so to speak, for their entire national or international mission. And Saraswati Thakur's actual desire was he considered that, right, he went to Calcutta because he wanted to establish the cult of Mahaprabhu, the position of Mahaprabhu, in the heart of Maya. Not just in the Dham, not just in the sattvic environment, right in the middle of the tamasic, rajasic environment, he wanted to establish Shuddhasattva. And not only general Shuddhasattva, but, you know, Krishnamoy, Krishna Premamoy. He wanted to saturate it with the highest substance. That was his style, right? Like a Napoleonic type strategy. Give, you know, establish the highest thing in the lowest place. And then everywhere in between will fall, right? Like it is like a strategy. If you, you know, if you're in war or even in a simple situation, like even if you're in a group of people, if you're talking to the people and you want their attention, if you can capture the attention of the least attentive person, you'll get everybody else's attention automatically. Like if you're in a room, like get the kids listening and everybody's going to listen, you know. So, you know, establish Mahaprabhu's goal in the middle of Calcutta and everyone's going to go, what? And even the villagers, they're going to come to see that. And they did. You know, how many massive festivals and things took place, you know, so many glorious things took place. So this was his plan. But he considered that this service is so valuable. The value of contributing to that project is so valuable that he wanted to give that opportunity to as many people as possible. So he told the devotees, he said, I want you to go out and collect contributions to this project. But I want, you know, as many people as possible to contribute to this project. Means don't go out trying to get huge amounts of money or pushing and pressuring people. Just whatever people can give, even a small, just let them come. Let that opportunity to contribute be spread very widely. So the devotees were out doing this. Right? And they were very enthusiastic. You know, sometimes many of them were so bold going out here and there, everywhere, you know, on behalf of Saraswati Thakur with incredible, you know, like courage and resilience and cleverness and so many things. They were like charging. You know. Even Guru Maharaj mentioned one story about Von Maharaj, Bhakti Hridoy Von Maharaj. That he was going out in the city, like very enthusiastically. I don't know if it was exactly at this time or at a later date, but he was in Calcutta, Saraswati Thakur was there, he was going out to like bring back things for Saraswati Thakur. And he was going through the neighborhoods and house to house, you know, going. And then he went up and he entered this area, you know, and then all of a sudden he realized that it was a prostitute like place. You know, what they call it the Pros Quarter or something like that. So, you know, and this is especially in that time in Indian society, you know, if you're like seen dressed that way, going into that building, you know, like, it looks so bad socially, you know, it's very sensitive. So he had already, but sincerely unaware, had like already entered this place, and then inside realized what it was. And then he becomes like terribly afraid to walk outside. Like, what is anyone gonna? Who? But will it matter one word that I say? You know, when I come out of here, what are people gonna think? You know. And so he was quite distressed about this. You know. So he thought, you know, I have to tell Prabhupada, you know, I have to, like, I, you know, who knows where news of this will spread, like, I just have to tell him myself what happened, you know. So, anyhow, he goes out, and I don't remember, maybe Prabhupada knows more details of the story, I don't know, but he came out and he went back to Prabhupada and he just said, you know what, like, I was out today and really I didn't know, but I went there. You know, and maybe some news will come of that, and, you know. Because at the time, what the devotees were doing was, like, repeatedly in, like, the headlines of the major newspapers. It was, like, a very, like, influential thing happening within the higher forces of society, you know. So it wasn't, like, just a kind of, you know, a few guys out in, like, some remote part of town that nobody really knows about or cares about. It was, like, of social significance, what was going on. So he, you know, explained this sort of thing to Saraswati. He explained everything that happened. And then Saraswati Thakur reflected and he thought, am I doing wrong? You know? He thought, and he kind of like looked at it in a deeper way. And he thought, I've pulled so many people out of samsara, means out of conventional household life. And now as sadhus or, you know, renunciates or celibates or whatever, they're going around and they're also drawing energy from people living the standard kind of way of life and drawing energy towards the service of the Lord. You know, and this is like kind of going against the major thrust or flow of society. Is this right? You know? Like, and he's like reflecting and then he's sort of like, yeah, you know, it is. And ultimately, if someone living for this higher ideal is neglecting all of these duties, and even in doing so, if they go even to a facility of people doing that, and somehow engages a bit of their energy, however it's being misused at present, and utilizes it for this cause, that's beneficial for everybody involved. So he sort of like resolved, you know, like, there's no fault in this, actually. Some people may, you know, on a level of suspicion or, like, conventional etiquette may object, but, like, actually, like, you know, I support this. I don't think there's anything wrong. Like, something like that, he came. Have you heard any other? Something like that. Yeah. I don't remember if I have all the details here, but like that, he gave some support, you know, and appreciated the kind of honesty and like, I don't know, repentance or something like that on the part of Bon Maharaj. So at that time, the devotees were out, like, they're so enthusiastic, they're like going into places like that without noticing. You know, they're so fired up. But at that time, this devotee, Jagabandhu Bhakti Ranjan, was in his later times. He was planning to retire, he was thinking what to do with his estate, and so on and so forth. And he came to know of Saraswati Thakur's aim to establish this temple. And right then he thought, there you go. That's what this is for. That's what I can, my life's work can be. You know, I've worked for so many years, I've done so many things for the sake of this company and this wealth, and that is a worthy use of it. So, liquidated all his assets. And came and gave the full amount for the temple. You know, what would now be like, you know, 10 million pound or something like just some kind of like huge amount like that. And just came, bam. You know. And all the devotees are like, Jai! You know, like, Prabhupada wants a temple, bam! 10 million pound on the table, Prabhupada's temple's gonna be made. This is the will of Mahaprabhu. Yeah. They're like, so happy, you know. They're thinking this is so glorious. Mm. But Prabhupada is like sober. You know. And then he surprises them all. And he says, this isn't what I wanted. And everyone's kind of like, what? You know, like, you just got 10 million? You know, 3 lakhs rupees, you know, and I'm like, you just got 10 million pounds. You know. And he says, yes. But really what I wanted to do was to distribute Sukriti to 3 lakhs of people, to 10 million people. You know, and now this one person has come forward and acquired all that Sukriti for him. Kind of like, well, you know, like, we won't deny him that. He's come to do that. But, you know, that's not the whole idea. And that also, like, illustrates this idea. There was an instance, maybe you heard, when some devotees, they asked Param Guru Maharaj rules or guidelines about how to collect funds. You know, because maybe you know why it might be important to get some guidance on that, without going into any unsavory topics at this moment. And Guru Maharaj was made aware of many things that went on in the name of other things. And he, in one instance, he gave 3 rules. Very nice guidelines for any devotees engaged in that sort of seva. Right? And he said, number one, whatever you collect, you can't use it for yourself. I mean, straight up. Right? Number two, you have to see that it is being utilized in the proper way. Like, it has to, you can't take it for yourself, it has to go to a proper Vaishnava service function, you know, etc. And, those two, they're like the same concept in one, right? And number two, you can't do any sort of collection that will bring any disrepute upon the Vaishnava community. It means the manner that you go about it must be dignified. And number three, it has to be done with the mentality that this is for the benefit of the givers, not for our benefit as the takers. Right? Not like, you know, we're making a temple, we're gonna like have a big festival feast, so, you know, like, give us 10, give us 20, you know, you gave 20, you know, this kind of whole like thing, you know, but rather think, this person is blessed to contribute to this service to the extent that we can purely utilize this energy in that service. This is a very sober matter. You know, with great vigilance to see that what they contribute is actually efficiently utilized, and two, that it's done with the desire of blessing these people. That it's thought to be an act of a benefit for them. Not that, you know, we go out and then kind of like manipulate them, you know, like sort of like, oh, you know, people are in need, aren't you going to give something, you know, like, you know, this kind of like, no, this is for your benefit. Give for your spiritual benefit. So that those principles, right? If we want to talk about like charity or all, you know, there's like Vaishnava domain where these things apply, you know. So Saraswati Thakur showed that very beautifully in this example where somebody's giving him 10 million pounds and, you know, he's like staunch. You know, and saying, I'm only asking for this, I'm only collecting this for the benefit of those people, and that's not exactly what happened, so I'm not going to necessarily just get all excited. But nevertheless, he accepted these things, and then the temple was constructed. And in the Gaudiya, and in the public festivals and things, the magazine and in the festivals that took place, the devotees gave honor to Jagabandhu Bhaktiranjan like anything. Oh man, they gave him honor. I mean, like, huge garlands, huge chairs, poems in his honor, plaques, articles, biography, like, you know, like, famous as you could be, you know. They just, like, showered him with respect and honor in response to this gift. I mean, so much. If you look, you know, there's like Sanskrit stotras, like praising, you know, like, they're like all the pundits, the guys, like the, you know, the whole thing came down to like honor this person because his life was so perfect. I mean, he was like the six, like the epitome of like a modern successful Calcutta businessman, kind of like of the changing of society. He was like succeeding at that, and then in that progressive position within the society, he showed a specific like further step into like the spiritual domain, and perfectly illustrated that this is like the next level of like sophistication and development in life beyond all of that. So it was very helpful for propaganda, we can say. It was really nice. But then when all this was happening, right, then the temple is founded and everything, then, you know, he's very, like, you know, detached. He's like, I gave this. This is for service. I don't want anything in return, whatever. They're doing all these things, you know. And then he just requested that he wrote one poem, a very short poem, four lines, four couplets, like a tiny little poem. And he just requested, like, I don't want anything, but can this poem be mounted on a wall or someplace? I want people to know what is my heart in relation to this. This is all my request. Okay. So he has this little poem, four lines. And Gurudev, he quoted one of the lines of this poem, okay, which says, Tomar dhan, tomai diye, tomar hoinu roi. Tomar dhan, tomai diye, tomar hoinu rai. And the previous line, I don't remember the whole thing. That was the line that Gurudev quoted. But the previous line is like, Amar dukkha kaha ke boli. This is the artha. Like that's the, not the exact line, but that's what was said. He's in the poem, he says, whom can I tell my sadness? To whom can I convey my sadness? Tomar dhan, tomai diye, tomar hoinu rai. Which means, why am I sad? It means this massive festival is going on, everyone's worshipping me, I'm like famous, you know, I'm blessed by my guru, I'm world famous, I've done a great thing, you know, everything. But I'm sad inside. Why? And he says, because I gave you your wealth remaining your own. While being your own, I gave you your wealth. Means that I had the mentality. I was thinking, this is mine and I'm giving it to you. I had that concept. But actually, that's completely wrong. If I am a surrendered soul, what is mine? Everything is yours. So what's actually yours, I'm thinking is mine, and then I'm thinking I'm great because I'm giving it back to you. What was I thinking? So to whom can I express my sadness that I'm being rewarded for doing nothing and having had the wrong mentality in doing so? This more was the spirit of the poem. So this is the real expression of a surrendered soul. You know, Tomar Sangsari Koribo Seven Nahibo Falera Bahagi. You know, I will, remaining in your family, remaining in your world, serving you for your satisfaction, I won't lay claim to anything. So, you know, Bhokta and Prabhu, he's the provider and he's the recipient. So what are we doing? Right? We're just like passing it on. Like, here it comes, there it goes. That's all it is.
Custodian.
Yeah, that would give custodian some prestige. Yeah, sure, I like it.
That word doesn't carry so much prestige in our society. This can give some extra benefit to a custodian. So, to give him what belongs to him. This is the function of who? Of a servant. That's what a servant does. They're in the house of the, you know, like a butler or something. They're in the house of the proprietor. They give the proprietor what he asked for. So, the Vaishnava plane of sacrifice is like that, right? Whereas within the gunas, that conception may be absent. Even in sattva-gun, here it's explained that the qualification is that there's no expectation of a result, or they're not giving sacrifice or charity for the sake of getting a result. But they may have the conception that they're giving something, that something belongs to them and they're giving it away. So to go beyond the gunas is to cross that concept and say, nothing is mine in the first place. This is all yours. This entirely belongs to you. Not only will I not expect a result, but I won't conceive of myself as even the independent agent. So, that is all writing, or all necessitate faith. Right? Sincere faith in the Lord's proprietorship of the world and our very selves. That faith is a prerequisite for having sacrifice of that spiritual or transcendental standard. So in the Bhagavad you'll find a verse that's tavad karmana, tavad kurita karmani. You know that's tavad karmana? I forget that slope. But shraddhaya najayate. Not coming to my mind. But it means that you should continue to perform karma. Here karma means varnashram, dharma means sacrifice, charity, austerity, and sattva-gun, etc., 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 chapter 17. You should consider to perform those activities so long as you have not developed faith in the position of the Lord. Until this type of transcendental faith and conception comes to you, you're duty-bound to adhere to all these laws. But when someone acquires that higher standard of faith, then in the spirit of duty, they can neglect all of those things. And it's real. And it's a higher act of service. It's a greater act of sacrifice. You know, leave all the duties of the world and, you know, surrender to me. That's not like a get out of jail free card, or like a loophole that you don't have to, you know. That's like saying, you know, you're like, it's expected that you're already sincerely, selflessly engaging in all of this complete life of selflessness for the benefit of the world and every other living being, least of all yourself. That's the standard you're already expected to live up to be accepted as a good person according to these principles. Right? But if that's not enough for you, and you're so extremely eager to be more selfless and sacrifice more, and you can conceive of yourself as just being a unit of sacrifice, that the not only that that's something you ought to do, but that's just the nature of your existence that you want to be assimilated into or like merge into for eternity, then okay, we'll allow that. We'll allow that, you know. And on that basis, you can let go of these things to do, more, do even more sacrifice, even more service, even more giving of yourself. That will allow. And this is, we can say, interesting when, right, we're spreading the teachings of Mahaprabhu, spreading these transcendental principles among people who have hardly ever conceived of the concept of even sattva-gun in their life. This is an interesting formula, interesting circumstance, right? When you've got people who are like way down there in Tamo Rajagun, and then you're talking to them straight about all these transcendental things. And we can like dangle lots of great carrots, you know, moksha, Krishna Prem, Vaikuntha, you know. We've got like all this stuff for people to go like, yeah, wow, awesome, you know. But how much like selfless sacrifice does that necessitate? Actually, the people can't at that stage have any proper idea. They're totally walking into something that they don't really understand. It is that way. It can't not be that way. But that's Mahaprabhu, right? That's this other plane that isn't so, it's not so systematic. It's not so well organized, we can say. It's not so like step, 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 chop, 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 like fit the grid, follow the method. It's like kind of mysterious and like wild. And you have these people when you end, their lives are like half transcendental and half tamagun. it's strange, isn't it? You know? It's like they oscillate from like, yeah, you know, 100% extreme eternal dedication to Krishna, you know, to like, you know, well, let's get, you know, out the back, let's go have a smoke at the pub. it's quite amazing. You know, I think some of these like Sattvic Brahmins must like really have them like spinning around, like, what is going on here? You know? Like, they can conceive of that, but like they do, you know, like, what? You know, and for some of them, it's like unruly. It's totally unruly. It's like, cut all of this big high talk. Like, let's get these people in line. Let's get them, like, sober, ordered, straight up. You know, like, let's break them in first. And then, you know, talk about all this higher stuff. Otherwise, it's just going to be crazy. You know, what is that line that Guru Maharaj liked, that song? Chandale Brahmane Kare Kotohali Kabe Va Chidave Ranga. You know that line? You know, saying, now by the coming of Mahaprabhu, the Brahmins and Chandalas are embracing one another and laughing. When did such kind of wild things ever happen before? Kabe Va Chidave Ranga. When did this kind of thing happen before? This is extraordinary, you know. This is a wonderful thing, actually, when we realize how much good, how much positive, like, prospect is pouring in. So that, but the cornerstone, right, of all of that is that faith. That when people acquire this faith in the position of Krishna, then they can embark on that higher journey, connect with that higher plane. So, faith, which is to say, the accumulation of Sukriti. All of these things are ultimately the influx of divine grace through the world. Right? This grace is appearing in the form of service opportunity and maturing into faith within the hearts of people, which allows them to reconceive of existence, reconceive of themselves and of the world as all belonging to Him, existing for Him. Right? He is by Himself and for Himself. They can have clear feeling for this by virtue of such grace. And with that, they can embark on, you know, all of these things that become acts of devotion. Right? Ultimately, what people in the conventional plane practice as charity, austerity, sacrifice, there's only one concept in the higher plane. Seva. Right? And for the sake of seva, there may be austerity, there may be charity, there may be sacrifice, there may be so many things. Right? Krishna Pritarthi Bhogtyag, one of the practices of devotion is austerity for the sake of pleasing Krishna. when there's an opportunity to greater please Krishna, some austerity may be performed. Jukta Vairagya. When it's conducive to rendering service, things may be renounced. You know, charity. When it's conducive to spreading the grace of the Lord, we might give people food, shelter, friendship, accommodation, free ride. We might give so many things to so many people. When it's related to our service, to our guru, our service to Mahabhu, our service of sharing these teachings of this wealth with others. So all of these conventional things, they turn into relative expressions of service according to the necessity of circumstance. And that also implies there's no necessity to cultivate them otherwise. Like, not more and not less. From one perspective, you might say, well, that's harsh. We can't be, like, nice to people. And, you know, it's like, actually, no. You know, everything must be done with the aim of satisfying Krishna. Every act of benefit to anything, it must be connected with the center, otherwise it's not actually good. Right? Amando daya, daya. Right? Mahaprabhu's grace is grace which produces no harm. This is some very grand, like cascading sloka from the lips of Swarup Damodara. Helo dhunita kedaya vishadaya pranmilada mudaya chamyat tastra vivadaya rasadaya chitarpitan madaya sharvan bhakti vinodaya samadaya madhur jamar jadaya Sri Chaitanya daya nidhe tava daya bhuyat amando daya. Daya nidhe means, oh, daya nidhi. Here Mahaprabhu is called daya nidhi. When I see daya nidhi, I just look so many times comes to mind. But the last phrase is very famous. Saraswati Thakur quoted it so much. Amando daya daya. Amanda udaya daya. Mani je dayai kono amander udaya nahoy. Grace which produces no harm. And for many times, you know, when you hear this, it's kind of like, but grace doesn't produce harm. So why do we need to qualify it as grace that produces harm? Right? But that is meant to make you go, is there some kind of grace that produces harm? And eventually realize, oh, there is. Like, every kind of grace, every kind of kindness, every kind of friendship, every kind of good thing that perpetuates aversion or insubmissiveness to the absolute center is harm-producing grace. Means it produces relative facility but absolute harm. Means it might be nice, it might be fun, it might be convenient, it might be polite, it might be pleasing, it might be so many things, but it's not in the spiritual interest of the recipient or the giver for that matter. Right. Like, there was this one very nice point, you know, Prabhu was probably aware. There was some period in a long time ago when some unfortunate comments were being made about Guru Maharaj by a very, you know, person who will remain unmentioned. And Gurudev wanted to set something straight about these things, right? But Gurudev's style is always, like, nice, you know, in the sense that it's, like fully effective, but always, like, dignified and, like, clever, or, like, with a humorous twist, or there's always some, like, nice, like it's all, like, incorporated into the dance, so to speak. So he had this article published in this magazine, and from what I'm told, he said it was composed by Srimad Bhakti Kumud Shanta Maharaj. Shanta Maharaj. Now, whether he said that or it was, I don't know, for the sake of circumstance. But either way, it doesn't really matter. You know, he presented it, and it was clearly what he had to say, because some accusation, some very unfortunate statement was made. Anyway, without going into too much detail, there's a story. And this story takes place in a village called Sridharpur. Okay? Sridharpur. And there in Sridharpur arrives one sadhu. Like, kono rokom sadhu arki. And that sadhu, when he was a boy, he heard a story. And in that story, he was told about a sultan, like a Muslim conqueror. And that sultan had a minister. And that minister had studied with some sadhus in the Himalayas. And with them had learned how to decipher the language of all the animals in the jungle. So when birds would chirp and deer, you know, like he could understand what all the animals were saying. He could under, you know, like French, German, bird, deer, he could understand everything. So one day, and the sultan knew that this minister had this ability. So one day they're out on some, you know, raid or whatever, and they come and they see some birds talking in a tree. And the sultan's kind of like curious. He says, hey, what are they talking about? What's going on in the tree? You know? And then the minister listens. And the sultan's, well, what are they saying? You know? And the minister's, well, one bird is talking to the other bird and they're negotiating an arranged marriage. And one bird has a daughter, one bird has a son, and they're discussing what dowry would be offered for the marriage. And then the sultan's kind of like, and? You know? Kind of, what's the arrangement? He's kind of curious. And then he listens, and then the father of the daughter says, I'll give you 100 villages of territory with my daughter as a dowry. Means these birds go and scavenge. You can have 100 villages of territory for scavenging. With my daughter, that'll be the dowry. And then the father of the son, he is kind of like bartering, you know, and he says, 100? He says, with our sultan going out and like laying, you know, just devastating the land, 100 villages is like nothing. I want 500. And then the debate goes on, but it says, when the sultan heard that, he became completely ashamed. And he thought, even the birds consider me like a cruel tyrant. Even the birds like are talking about me as like this terrible like conqueror. You know? So that like changed his heart and he gave up his campaign in that zone and went home. And so this sadhu, his name was Shantiram. He heard that story. And he thought, I want to know what the birds are talking about. I want to know what the animals say. So when he heard the story when he was a boy. So he left Bengal, went to the Himalaya. And he met the sadhus and he also learned the talk of all the animals. And he lived a long time in the forest, etc. And then eventually he came back to Bengal. And one day he arrived in Sridharpur. And in Sridharpur, there was one Vaishnav Mohant, means like temple sevite, right? Like sadhu maintaining a temple. The local people called him Mohant Maharaj. Right? And he had a deity of Gopal. And he would perform puja and have festivals with the villagers. And behind the temple, they had a pukur, a small pond lake. Right? And, you know, they would wash the plates from the temple, the deity's plates, the prasadam plates, etc. They would use the pukur for the service of the temple, etc. And that's what's going on. And next door lived one smarta Brahmin, Shaiva Bhakta, named Harihar Bhattacharya. Okay? Like conventional, like Shaivite, smart and Brahman type. Bengali. And he also had a pukur. And in the pukur of Maharaj lived some katla. You know this type of fish? Katla?
Katla, yeah.
Katla.
Yeah.
One type of fish. And in the pukur of the Bhattacharya lived Rui. Another type of fish, you know? Yeah. So one type of fish live here, one type of fish live there. And the fish, they're kind of friends. So some from time to time they talk. And especially during Bhadra Mas, means the main monsoon time, when lots of rain falls, then the pukur swell, and sometimes they touch. So the fish can come up and they can get to know each other. So it so happened that Shanti Ram came to this Gopal temple on Bhadra Mas Purnima. And that night the moon was shining very brightly on the water, and the water was very high. And there was one area where the water of the two pukurs was touching. And someone had put like a bamboo grate between them so that the fish wouldn't cross. But the Rui and the Katla came up and they were talking through the bamboo, you know, and having their village talk. What's it, how's it going in your pukur? Our pukur is like this, and my uncle did that, and your aunt did this. And they're having their whole, like, the whole, you know, thing is going on. And so Shanti Ram comes down and he sees everything and he sits down and he starts to listen, to hear how is life going in this pukurs of Sridharpur. And he's very surprised to hear what is happening when he starts to listen. And the Katla, they come and they're calling out, "Oh, Brother Rui! Brother Rui, come, come! Oh, hi, Sam!" And then they say, what, you know, what's happening? And you need something, Daini?
No, he's sleeping.
Okay.
Karen.
And then the Katla, they say, "Oh, today we have very, very sad news. You will be very surprised to hear it." And we said, What happened? And they said, "Today will most likely be the last night of our life." And all the Rui, they said, "What? What? Why? How can this be?" They said, "We live with this fear every day. Our Harihar Bhattacharya, he likes to fry fish. Right? But your Mohan Maharaj, he is Niramish, you know, he's a Vaishnav, you know. What greater fortune is there in the life of a fish to be born in the pukur of a pure Vaishnav? You guys have it made, you know. You live a whole life of tranquil, you know, freedom, you don't pay rent, you don't have to worry about taxes, you're going to live till your old age, yes, everything is just fine, you're the most fortunate fish in all of Bengal, you know, whereas all of us, the fish in the houses of the Shaktas and the Shaivas, any day we will be our last, you know, you can't take nothing for granted." But now you're telling us, that today is going to be your last day. We can't believe it. They say, you know, like, how could it be? You know. But then the Katla, they say, "Don't be sad. It's not sad, actually. Actually, we said it was sad because we thought you were going to be sad. But actually, we're not sad at all." And the reader are like, "What? Now this doesn't make any sense. We don't understand how it could be your last day, and we don't understand why that wouldn't make you sad." And then there is, the Katla, they said, "Well, Brother Rui, why don't you listen and we'll explain." They said, "Being, as you said, fortunate, very most fortunate fish in the pukur of a Vaishnav, we have had the chance to hear much Harikotha from our Mohan Maharaj. He many times has spoken the word on the bank of our pukur, and we are very blessed to have heard this Harikatha." "Well, what do you say? What does he say? We have not, you know, our Harihar Bhattacharya, he doesn't speak Harikatha to us." And I said, "Well, what our Mohant Maharaj many times has told us about is the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which are based on Amando Daya Daya, this grace that produces no harm, and that every living being who's blessed with that kind of grace, they get eternal benefit. They get the opportunity to engage in the eternal service of Krishna. And there is no greater engagement than this. And in anything that gets utilized in the service of Krishna, it gets blessed with that highest spiritual connection. So, right now, there's some hard time going on in the society of Bengal. And our Mohant Maharaj, he doesn't have any kind of material aims or aspirations. He is very simple. But due to the economic difficulties, very few donations are coming in. Very little is coming to support the temple. And Mohant Maharaj has had to resort to us. He doesn't like to do it. He doesn't want to do it. We know his heart. We know he is a very kind-hearted person. But our Mohant Maharaj is very deep in his thoughts. And our Mohant Maharaj knows that if we die in our old age, as is normally desired here in this pond, we won't get any Sukriti for doing so. But if we get sold a little before, and then some funds come to the temple for the seva of Gopal, we're going to get a great birth next time around. So really, we consider this great act of compassion, this great kindness of our Mohant Maharaj, to finally give us the chance to be harvested. And the Rui are going like, are you guys crazy? What are you talking about? You're trying to tell me that in this act of harm against you, selling you off, killing you, that there's actually kindness. And that to let you live peacefully is actually cruel. You want to tell me that harm is help and help is harm. That's what you're trying to convince us. And they said, well, yeah, actually. You know, and then, you know, the way Gurudev put it was, then all the cutla fish, the Vaishnav fish, they were discussing this, and they made their point, and then they were like looking at each other, like, yeah, it's true, we're gonna give our lives for the seva of Gopal. This is amazing. This is so great. We have such a bright future. And so they're all doing some kind of like fish dance. I don't know how fish dance, but they're all like, they're doing like fish dance, you know, on this side of the pukur, you know. And all the Maya, he grew up to like Mayavadi fish in the Harihar Bhattacharya pukur. They're going like, oh no, this is crazy. You know? This is terrible. And they're all like depressed and like disturbed, you know. And Shantiram, he's listening to all this. And Shantiram is shocked. Shantiram's like, I never heard any kind of animal talk like this. You know? This is some seriously transcendental stuff to hear some fish talking about. You know? He's like really surprised. And he's also thinking to himself, and like, really? Mohant Maharaj is going to harvest these fish. I can't believe it, you know. And this is going on like late into the night, getting up to almost like Mangalarati time. And he's there. And then he's heard all this stuff, and then suddenly Mohant Maharaj comes out. Really early. Means before anybody's gonna see what he's doing. Because I mean, you can understand how our Bengali family is here. You know, if some Vaishnav is like harvesting his pukur secretly, like the whole village is gonna hear about it big time. You know, it's not gonna go over so well. You know, so a little cleverly, he's out there like real in the early in the morning to do his harvesting. And he comes and he's like starting, and then he sees Shantiram. And he knows Shantiram. So immediately he's like, Shantiram is here. Shantiram knows what these fish are saying. The fish know it's going. He understands, like, without anything being said, that Shantiram knows what he's doing. So he's confident in what he's doing. So he comes over to Shantiram and he says, can we talk? Can I explain? And Shantiram's like, well, yeah, I'd like to hear your explanation because it doesn't make sense to me. And then Mohant Maharaj explains to him this principle of help in the form of harm and harm in the form of help. And he says, think about the life of these fish in my pond. Their whole life, they're doing seva. Because we wash all the plates of the deity in this pond. And naturally, there is some residue, various things come into the pond, but the fish, by swimming in the pond, they eat the algae, they oxygenate the water, they keep the pond fresh and nice so that we can keep using it for the washing of Gopal's paraphernalia. And so much paraphernalia so much prasadam has entered this lake. These fish, they've been taking prasadam all their life. They've been doing seva for Gopal every moment of their life just by swimming and breathing. These are very blessed fish. And by virtue of all that seva that they've done, they have shraddha. They have faith. And they know who is Gopal. And they know what is Sukriti. And they know what is Krishna Bhakti. And now, they're embracing this opportunity to do this seva. They're happy about it. They're thinking, you know, what's the benefit of our carcass, you know, decomposing into the mud of this lake? What benefit do we get from that? But if we can give, you know, our fish body in exchange for some bhog and some other things to feed Gopal, because, you know, in this life we're not, you know, as we read about here, you know, in the section, you know, amedyam is one type of food in the mode of ignorance, right? Amedyam means unofferable or unsanctified food, which means fish, meat, etc. So if we are in this tamasic form, so to speak, and we can't be offered, but we can convert our body into some offerable substance that can be given to Gopal, we're doing seva. You know, we're getting to do like real seva. Our whole life we've done seva, and now at the end of our life we get to do more seva. This is great. And these fish are like loving it. So Shantiram, Mohan Maharaj, he says to Shantiram, so, you know, these fish, by virtue of their Sukriti, they can understand what is Amando Daya Daya. And to do this is really to benefit these fish. And anyone who criticizes a Vaishnava for distributing Sukriti to other living entities in this way is fit to go to hell for such Vaishnava Ninda. So, Shantiram, it's been very nice to meet with you this evening, and I'll carry on with my fishing. And I wish you all the best, and I think, by the grace of the Lord, these things will be understood by you as well. And the story ends. So the title of the article is called A Kemon Doya. It means, what kind of grace is this? What kind of mercy is this? But it is. So, this theme, to give, you know, non-harm producing mercy. Anyway, we've gone on for quite some time. I'll just summarize and say that, our main theme is Shraddha, right? And to acquire Shraddha of this type, Shraddha in that non-harm producing grace, that connection with the Absolute, that is all in all, that is actual goodness. And any even worldly form of goodness is actually harm when it lacks this. So to come to that absolute standard is to acquire this of standing in what is called Shuddha Sattva or Vishuddha Sattva plane. So Yoyat Tarda Seva Shodama Yoyum Purush. Who are you? You are faith. Right? In one sense, faith is the function of the will, the act of will. And will is the most inherent property in the jiva, right? Guru Mahar said, consciousness, personality, free will, these are an inseparable substance. So how we exert our will is who we are. So Shraddha Yoyam Purush. Shraddha Tara Saivasa. What is his Shraddha? That is him. And in the words of Guru Mahar, also, the spiritual plane, the higher plane, in the broadest sense is known as Shraddha Mayoyam Loka, the plane of Shraddha, the plane that you can only enter into when you acquire Shraddha. So this, and in this chapter it mentions that at the beginning, and then at the end, Ashraddhas Taram Param, that verse at the end, anything done without Shraddha, no value, no quality, even in the Guna plane, without Shraddha, no value. So here we have like double significance of that, right? Without fundamental Shraddha, no value. And without Shraddha of this type, no connection with the Absolute. No connection with Absolute. So these three types of faith are there, and we aspire for none of them. But rather, the ultimate type of faith described in the Gita of exclusive surrender to Lord Krishna. Go Premanande
Haribo!
Alright, Prabhu, if I went on too long,
no.
If you'd like to also comment on any of these themes or the chapter, I would be very happy to hear it.
No, Maharaj, how can we follow that? That is very nice. Wonderful. Then we are very happy. Our Bhagavad Gita study group has become very perfect now. And Bhagavad Gita is meant to teach pure devotion. And this is the quality. And Guru Maharaj said that this about Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj's commentary, Bhagavad Gita as it is, that generally the theme of Bhagavad Gita is karma yoga, is the general theme. But in Swami Maharaj's commentary on Srimad Bhagavad Gita, from every verse he draws bhakti from it. From every verse. He proves bhakti and shows bhakti in every verse of Bhagavad Gita as it is. This is the unique position of his commentary. Guru Maharaj told like that. So, and this is really the study of Bhagavad Gita is for this. You know, in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, Srila Govinda Maharaj's introduction to Guru Maharaj's Gita, he's saying that people of all creeds and philosophical persuasion, they'll find their justification of their philosophy in Bhagavad Gita. It's there, they'll be able to find that. But and he gives an example of how, you know, the followers of Aurobindo, the anarchist party, they would keep one copy of Bhagavad Gita in their pocket, and Gita was their justification for everything that they did. But actually, this isn't the real meaning of Bhagavad Gita. Although these topics are covered, the real meaning of Bhagavad Gita ultimately is surrender to Krishna. This is what is to be understood from Srimad Bhagavad Gita. And how do we know that that's the case? Because this is the position of Arjun, finally, is that he surrenders to Krishna. Krishna doesn't say, now you have to do this. He says, whatever, everything I've told you, consider, and you do as you like. Do what you think best. And Arjun responds by saying, yes, well, everything you've taught, I fully accept that. And now, surrendering to you, I will carry out my duty for your satisfaction. So this is, the real teaching of Bhagavad Gita is to teach us this. And all the other things within that, ultimately they are you know, an analysis of the reality through different lenses. But the ultimate teaching is this, that we are to surrender to the Lord. And what is the result of that surrender? That we will come to the Lord. Manmana bhava mad bhakta madhyaji man namaskaro mani vaisasi satyam te pratijani priyoshime. Give your heart to me, bow down to me, worship me, and you will come to me because you are priyoshime, you are dear to me. And this is the meaning. The Lord is telling us that you are my, you know, created part and parcel, and I have created you for a purpose. And being that, because you are my eternal servants, all of you, then you are dear to me. Then my goal is that you will come to me. But for that, you have to exercise your free will properly. I've given you free will, I won't again take that from you. Now it's up to you what you do with that free will. And this is what he tells Arjuna. I've given all these teachings I've given to you, now you decide what you want to do. Still remaining in status, free will status. Now you decide what you want to do. So, we're very happy. You know, this penultimate chapter, we got to discuss it with the Vaishnavas, and such a nice explanation, and so much wonderful Harikatha from His Holiness. We get to hear that here, and then we think that and really it's worthwhile. This Bhagavad Gita study group is very worthwhile. That we will do this every week. Actually, one lady wanted that from me. She called me up on the telephone. I have so many questions about Bhagavad Gita, so many things I don't understand, want to discuss with you. I said, okay, let's make a weekly Bhagavad Gita class. But she doesn't come to that Bhagavad Gita class to ask those questions. But anyway, she was the catalyst. And we're very happy for that. And, you know, some people say, oh, Bhagavad Gita is an introductory scripture, or it's, you know, primary or something like that. But, you know, we heard from Srila Govindamaraj that he said, you know, I know Bhagavad Gita from my childhood, but even now in my last days when I read it, newer and newer light is coming to me from that. Yeah, it must be so. You know, it is the Lord's eternal song, the Bhagavad Gita, the song of God. The song of Bhagavan. Then, it's not a dead thing or a limited thing. It is transcendental and always giving more and more light. Only we have to be open to that. We have to be, as Srila Govindamaraj would say himself, make ourselves as proper receivers for that. So that is what our sadhana should be, actually, to make ourselves proper receivers of Krishna's grace. The grace is always there, flowing all the time. It is there. Only we have to become proper receivers of that. And not just receivers of that, but satellites of that. When we receive that, then we can give that to others. And this is how Krishna consciousness spreads all over the world. When we receive that and we, acting as satellites, try to give that to others. And Mahaprabhu is told he's told, you become guru and you liberate this land, and don't feel afraid that by doing this service you'll be overcome, because in this service you will find me there. You will find me there giving my support to you. So this is Mahaprabhu's entreaty to all of us. You know, what we've received, if we value it, then we have to try to give that to others. However, you know, qualified or unqualified we may be, it would be ungrateful of us to say that we never received anything from our guru. We've all received many precious things.
and we have to try to share those with others. And first of all, that means we have to be proper receivers of that. That means that when those things come to us, we have to become those things, actually. What we believe, and this is there, right at the beginning, of, as Maharaj was saying, the beginning of this chapter, what you believe, what your faith is, you are that. So you must be that, you have to become that. Really, you have to actualize that in yourself. What do I believe? Then what does that mean? You know, what creed do I support? What creed am I adhering to? And how does that reflect in my life? Well, these are all things that we have to consider. How important is this to me? And if it's important to me, then we have to embrace it fully, not just partially, or at least we have to desire to embrace it fully. Because, you know, we're all flawed in so many ways. But if we have the desire, you know, any comparison is odious, but, you know, this was Swami Maharaj, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, when he was coming to London, coming to America on the boat, the Jaladuta, this is his prayer to Krishna. I don't know what to say to them. I don't know, you know, how they're going to receive me or anything. But you can make me like your puppet. Make my words understandable to them. And make me dance. As you want me to dance, make me dance. Now, this is Sharanagati. This is real Sharanagati. Then ultimately, you know, we all have to become like that. We have to. There's no other choice. Otherwise, we'll give some adulterated thing. It'll become adulterated in us, and when we try to give it to others, that will be an adulterated version of that. So we may not be. Of course, we're not Swami Maharaj. We never think that we could ever be anything like that. But what he did, that must be like in our inspiration. It must be. We must also try to be able to, even in our little way, you know, whatever that may be, in a little way, that we shall do. You know, this is what he said. And I guess I'm thinking all this because tomorrow is his disappearance day. So I'm also thinking about him a lot today. That he said, my only qualification is that I just repeated what I heard from my Guru Maharaj. Nothing altered, nothing changed. No, you know, exactly as he told it to me, I'm telling to you. A Bhagavad Gita as it is, not with any interpretation or any, other motivation behind it. And that's, you know, it doesn't mean that you just become like an automaton repeating something in a rote way. But how that reflects inside of you in a genuine way, you can share that with others, and that will be a genuine spiritually enlightening experience for you and for those who hear from you also. So we aspire for that, and all of that has come to us through the grace of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. This is the first of scriptures and the last of scriptures. Everything is there in this conversation if we look and open ourselves, become proper receivers of that. Anyway, we can end our class tonight, and we can meet again next Wednesday for the last chapter, the 18th chapter. Then we'll decide what will happen after that. Okay. Jai Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.
Jai
Sri Krishna Arjuna ki jai. Jai Srimad Bhagavad Gita study group ki jai. Jai Sri Sri Guru Guranga Radha Sham Sundar Giridhari ji ki jai. Jai Sri Pad Bhakti Kamal Tyagi Maharaj ki jai. Jai Vaishnava Brinda ki jai. Hari Nama Sankirtan ki jai. Nitai Gaura Premanandi. Hari Haraye Nama Krishna Jadavaya Namaha.
Hari Haraye Nama Krishna Jadavaya Namaha.
Hari Haraye Namah Krishna Jadavaya Namaha. Hari Haraye Namah.